Morning. Today's daf is daf Chaf Aleph in Megillah, and we are back on daf Chaf Amud Aleph. We are at the Mishnah. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Zechanish Maslow Lupin Zaltzman. Okay, let's make more attempts to get back to where we should be today, and we start with a Mishnah in Karanis of Megillah. V'lo malam v'lo tovim v'lo mazin v'chein shomer yom keneged yom lo titbol ad shetane techam. But the Mishnah over here gives us a list of things that should not be done until Netzacham, until actual sunrise. Okay, Netzacham this morning was approximately 20 minutes ago, maybe a little bit more, but sunrise is the beginning of the day. Now, not actually, meaning as we're about to read more in the Mishnah, that's not absolutely precise. In fact, look at the next words of the Mishnah. If I do any of these activities, I'll explain each one of them, one by one, but if I do any of these activities, from dawn, so then kasher, so then it's fine. You fulfilled your obligation. So essentially what the Mishnah is telling us is as follows, and we'll see Rashi in just a moment, but basically, there are certain things that need to be done during the day, certain mitzvahs that need to be done during the day. The Mishnah over here gives us a handful of those mitzvahs. When the mitzvah needs to be done during the day, so how do you know the day actually started? So the best piece of evidence is seeing the sun rise over the horizon. Netzachama, right? The first sparks of sun, the first actual visual of sun that it peaks over the horizon, that's what's called Netzachama, right? We all know, davening Shmoneh Esrei, Vasikin, the best time to do it is Netzachama, is at this point of sunrise. But at this point of sunrise, what we also know for sure is that it's day. But the truth of the matter, says the Mishnah, is that really day started earlier. When did day start? When it started to get light. Yeah, take a look at Rashi over here. I know I've yet to explain. But look at Rashi over here. Aron Etzachama. Two Rashis to look at over here in the Mishnah. She has a Misafik Laila. What happens in Etzachama? It's no longer Safik Laila. Meaning, up until the point of Etzachama, one could wonder. Maybe it's night. Maybe it's day. It's early. I think I see a light. I'm not sure. When you see the sun, at that point in time, there's no suffix whatsoever. There's no doubt that it is actually day. But then look at the next Rashi in the Mishnah. V'kulan sha'asu deme alos ha'shachar yamamahu. Because fundamentally, the day begins alos ha'shachar. Dawn really is the fundamental beginning of day. The problem is, of course, is that when does dawn actually begin? Now again, we have everything with us is atomic, so we know when dawn begins with precision, or at least we think we know. But in other words, but back in the good old days, how did you know it was dawn? You woke up in the morning and you saw. You look at the eastern horizon and you saw that it was light. So therefore, okay, good. The day now has begun. So basically, to the question of when does the day begin? Fundamentally, dawn. When do we know for sure? Netzachama. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's just quickly run through these activities that must be done during the day. The Mishnah says Kriyas Megillah. Okay, reading the Megillah has to be done during the day. Now, let's remind each other that there are two kriyas that need to be done with the Megillah. One's during the day and one's the night prior. The night prior kriyas of Megillah, I made this point before, this is not my point, this is not my chiddush, but the Mishnayos never talk about the kriyas Megillah balayla. The kriyas Megillah that's only mentioned in the Mishnayos is only the kriyas Megillah bayom. That would seem to be that's the ikur kriyas Megillah. That's the main reading of the Megillah. Furthermore, there is it's a big chiddush, but the Cheshek Shlomo. Cheshek Shlomo was a dying in Vilna. He lived the same time as the Vilna Gaon. So the Cheshek Shlomo writes that the institution of reading the Megillah at night came later, meaning that wasn't the original institution of Esther, Mordechai. The institution of Kriyas Megillah by Esther and Mordechai were Kriya by Yom, the reading during the day. And the reading at night, that was a later institution. He posits, it's a chiddush, he posits that it actually came about after the Mishnayos. Meaning, where do we see Kriyas Megillah Balayla? Only in the Gemara. Meaning a statement made by Rav Yeshua ben Levi, we saw it all the way back on Daf Dalid, right, if you remember that way back in Megillah. But, okay, it's a big chiddush.
But even the first Mishnah in the Masechta talks about, you know, the villagers who go in during the day. Now it talks about the night.
Correct. Correct. You look at every... I mean, look, it's a supportable chiddush. I mean, he says it. But it's a tremendous chiddush. And the idea that the reading at night, well, it came at a much later time. It was an institution later on. Super interesting. Much to be discussed about it. We're going to go on. But it's certainly worthwhile thinking about as we read this Mishnah. So Megillah can only be read during the day. Next in the Mishnah, Milah. The mitzvah of Milah can only be done during the day. And so therefore, when's the first opportunity I should do it? So again, so really, you should do it the beginning of the day. Beginning of the day is fundamentally dawn, but Netzach Chama we know for sure. Next in the Mishnah is Tvila, right? Tovilling. Most Tovilling is done during the day. There are some Tvilas that are accomplished at night, but most of the Tvilas are done during the day. Hazayah. Hazayah is the sprinkling of the Paraduma. The ashes and the water mixed together, the Paraduma, that's done during the day. Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. So that's when a woman sees blood during her 11 days. 11 days after she is Anida, so that is what's called Yemei Ziva. Seeing blood at that time is not normal, and therefore she is Tamei, not as Anida, but she's Tamei Zava. We'll talk more about that later on. What she has to do is she has to wait one clean day after the day that she experiences blood. That day that she's watching is what's called the Shmira. She's Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, and she tovels during that day. The Gemara will ask the obvious question. The Mishnah already identified Tvila as being one of the things that has to be done during the day. So then why would the Mishnah then single out Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, which when all said and done is just another Tvila? So the Gemara is going to ask that question, and we will see that as we get to the Gemara. Okay.
Like a Tvul Yom would go at night, though, right?
A Tvul Yom? No, tovels during the day. Tovels during the day waits till night. Okay. But the Tvila itself is done during the day. Okay, let's start with the Gemara. Minalan da Amakra. I'm sorry, Minalan. So the first question is, how do we know this? Then the Gemara is asking about Kriyas Megillah. You know how the Gemara works. Systematically, we always look at the first point in the Mishnah, and then we work our way down the Mishnah. So right now, we are talking about the actual Kriyas Megillah. Da Amakra, Bayamim Alan is Karim Ben Asim, Bayamim Balayla Lo. So the pasuk of the Megillah says by yamim ha'ela on these days. So let me have it. You have to do Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Damar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Adam, I'm sorry, Chayav Adam lekorsa Megillah b'alayla l'shosa b'yom. So the Gemara says, what do you do with the statement of Rav Yeshua ben Levi? Meaning, it's like it's funny. You just hear the Gemara. The Gemara is asking, is he right? Meaning, how come our Mishnah is only talking about kriya b'yom? According to Rav Yeshua ben Levi, there are two kriyas, one during the day and the one the night prior. So. And he goes in chronological order. But anyway, but is he right? So the Gemara says, Ki Ketani Adiyom. Our Mishnah is only focused on the Kriya Bayom, not on the Kriya Balayla. Okay, it's interesting. Meaning again, where is the Kriya Balayla? So you hear the Chiddush of the Cheshek Shlomo. It's right. He sounds correct. Okay, this whole Kriya Balayla was a later institution. But the Mishnah is only talking about Kriya Bayom. Okay, V'lo Malin. The Gemara quotes a pasuk regarding Mila that it has to be bayom during the day. Lo tov lev lamazin. Dichtiv vahiza tahor latamei bayom hashvi'i. So the pasuk says that the hazayah, that the sprinkling is done on day 3 and on day 7. Right, and again the word is on day bayom. The itkish tefila lahazayah, and there's a hekesh between tefila and hazayah. So therefore, just like the sprinkling is done during the day, so too is the tefila done during the day. And then we're up to the next part of the Mishnah, which is the Shemar Yom Keneged Yom. So she also tovels during the day. So Pshita. So now here's the Gemara asking the question, which we foreshadow back in the Mishnah. At this point in time, I get it. She has to tovel in the mikvah. So most everyone who tovels in the mikvah does so during the day. Why is the Mishnah singling her out? Shemar Yom Keneged Yom Mikol Chayav Tilos. Good. That's the Gemara's question. It's the Rech, the Gemara says, Sakadat Chamina. Now, we're going to go over a Havamina. But before we go over a Havamina, let's just quickly get ourselves grounded in the idea of Shemar Yom Keneged Yom. Okay, as I quickly mentioned the Mishnah, but let's just do it again, and just a brief overview, very brief. A woman is, when she sees blood, she's Anida, right? Again, let's go back to the first time she sees blood. So she's Anida. She has the status of Anida, and that's for 7 days. Okay, Bizman is then nowadays we have a Chumrah where we treat every woman who sees blood to be a Zava Gadola, and so therefore she needs Shiva Nakiyim, and that Chumrah has been around for a long time. That Chumrah goes back to the Gemara. The Gemara already mentions that we have adopted this practice upon ourselves. But Chumrah aside, right, which I'm only taking away the last 2,000 years of our practice, but Chumrah aside, so Min HaTorah, a woman sees blood, so she's Anida. She's Anida for 7 days. Regardless of whether she bleeds or she does not bleed. That doesn't matter. She's Anida for 7 days. Then, after the 7 days are over, so then she goes to the mikvah. Here's one of those unusual circumstances where does she go to the mikvah? At night. Meaning she has to wait till the 7 days are over. The evening of the 8th, she goes to the mikvah, she can go home to her husband. Okay? Again, according to the strict letter of the law, according to the according to Torah law. Now what happens is the next 11 days afterwards are what called Yemei Ziva. Yemei Ziva basically are, there should be no expectation of blood. There is no expectation of blood. If she bleeds during that time, that is a bit of an anomaly, and that blood that is not treated as Dam Nida, but rather that blood is treated as Dam Ziva, with the following ramifications. If she bleeds 1 or 2 days during the Yemei Ziva, so then she's what's called a Zava Ketana. She's a minor Zava, which means that she'll just simply need to count one clean day, meaning even if she bleeds 2 days, she'll need to count one clean day, and on that one clean day, during that one clean day, she'll tovel the mikvah. Obviously, yet the day is not over yet. The rest of the day, she will wait until the day finishes, and that night, she's tahara. She's right. She no longer has tumah. If she were to bleed 3 consecutive days during her Yemei Ziva, now she's a Zava Gedola, she's a major Zava, which would require her, A, to count 7 clean days, and then B, on the 8th day to bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Until she brings a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, she can't actually walk into the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? A very brief overview of a woman during this period. The Rambam's position, which is interesting and hard to understand, difficult to understand, And he was a physician, so it makes it even harder to understand. The Rambam's position is that a woman operates with a 7-11 schedule, meaning and that doesn't change. Meaning 7 days she's a nida, the next 11 days she goes through her Yemei Ziva, and then the next day, meaning day 19, she goes back into her cycle of being a nida, whether she bleeds or she does not bleed. She basically, the Rambam has a woman going on a 18-day schedule. It's very difficult to understand. That's not the majority position amongst the Rishonim, is that's not how it works. But rather, she's a nida for 7 days. She, then the next 11 days, if she bleeds during those next 11 days, those are Yemei Ziva. And then after that, she has no status whatsoever. It's not Yemei Nida, you're not Yemei Ziva. When does she become a nida again? Very simple. The next time she bleeds. Good. That's how most Rishonim understand 7-11. Huh? Right, correct. Meaning on day 19, what happens? So according to the Rambam, she's a nida, and according to all the other Rishonim, she won't be a nida again until the next time she bleeds. Fine. Again, that's just a very, very brief overview of Yemei Nida and Yemei Ziva. We're back now to our Gemara, and we're discussing now the Gemara's question, which is, why would our Mishnah single out Shomer Tzom Keneged Yom when all said and done, she's Chayvi Tefillah, she has an obligation to Tov in the Mikvah? But so does a lot of people. And the Mishnah already covered that most everyone who tovels in the mikvah has to do so during the day. So why does the Mishnah point her out? Single her out. The Gemara goes on to explain. Salkadat Chamina, we're on Chaf Amud Aleph, we're towards the bottom of the Amud, about 10 lines from the bottom. Salkadat Chamina, to have a career, Rishon HaShozav. I might have thought like as follows. Look, there is a parallel tumah by a man. Now by a man, it's not blood, it's not bleeding, but it is a discharge that comes out of his organ. It is not a seminal discharge. It is slightly different. It's what's called Zav. Okay, it has a different coloration. It has a different viscosity. Right? And when he sees when he has a Zav discharge the first time, so he is he's also called the Zav. A minor Zav, not a major Zav. So Re'iyah Rishonah Shel Zav. Re'iyah Rishonah Shel Zav. Itkish Labal Keri. Now we also know that halachically speaking, a man who has a Zav discharge is the same as a man who has a Balkari discharge. Okay, so it's not the same physically, but halachically, a man having a single Zav discharge is the same as a man having a seminal discharge. And we also know, and by the way, how do we know that the two are halachically linked? Good, so the Gemara quotes a pasuk that they are halachically the same. Ma Balkari tova bayom, hainam elutva bayomei. Now, by a Balkari, what's the halacha? So the halacha is by a balkeri, a man who has a seminal discharge, he can tovel on the day that he had his discharge. So in other words, he does not have to wait till the next day. A balkeri can tovel on that day. Same story with the zav. With the man who has a zav discharge, he can tovel on the day that he had his discharge. And so therefore, kari tovel b'yom, hainam ilid bo b'yom. So I might have thought, the havamina is that if we take now the halachas that we just learned regarding a man who's a shechvat zera or a balkeri, and we now translate that over to the woman, who's also, it's a parallel, meaning she's also a zava. Okay, I understand it's a different discharge, but still, the halachas The Torah refers to them as the same. So, Bahabi Amam Lomati Tovla. Now, so therefore, I would have said that a woman should be able to Tovla when? On the day she has a discharge. The problem is, she can't. Why not? Dichtiv, Kol Yemei Zova, Kimishkav Nidata, Yela. Because the Torah says that during Yemei Zova, she is like a Nida. Meaning, just like a Nida cannot Tovla while she's in the day of Nida, so she can't Tovla also while she's in the day of Zova. So therefore, that's right, this is, and it's a lot, and I'm saying it very quickly, and I apologize. But basically what the Gemara is entertaining now is the following. This is all the Havamin of the Gemara. That a woman, while she is a, she sees her first Zova discharge, she should fundamentally be able to Tovla during the day. Why? Because we know that in the complementary scenario by a man who has a Zova discharge, he can Tovla during the day. Why? Because we know that a Baal Keri could be Tovling on the day that he has his emission. He has his discharge. So a Baal Keri could Tovla on the day of the discharge. A Zov could Tovla on the day of the discharge. I might have thought a woman who's a Zov could Tovla on the day of the discharge. The problem is that the Torah says that her Yemei Zova, she's like Yemei Nida. In that, Yemei Nida can't Tovla during the day, has to wait to the night after. So fine. So Balayla Miyash Le'Avid Miksa Shima V'Tidbol. So the Gemara says, okay. So here's what I would have thought, that the Shomer Yom Kineged Yom is different. She'll have a discharge during the day, but let's just call it a Tuesday just for purpose of illustration. So let's say she had a Zav discharge on Tuesday. She can't Tovla on Tuesday, even though the man could, if he had a discharge. She can't because the Torah says that she's like a Nida, in that she can't Tovla that day. What she'll do is she'll wait till the night after, meaning, right, Tuesday night. She'll Tovel Tuesday night, and then Wednesday she'll be good.
If you think about it, in this mission, all the things that they mention, there's an element of visual inspection that requires daylight, if you think about it.
Right.
Mila, you need to see.
Understood.
Going, you know, like,
understood.
Like,
understood. I don't know if that's the. I don't know. Right. That may. It's a,
like, other than
okay. They're fine. Fair. They're fine. It's a fair. It's fair. So, Mixer Shimmer, Betitbo, Kamashmal, and Kaven, to buy a Sphira, Sphira, Biyamamahu. So the Gemara says that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. The Mishnah is teaching us that no, she cannot Tovla the night after, she has to wait till the next day. And why does she need to wait till the next day? Because for the woman who is a Zava, be it she's a Zava Katana, be it she's a Zava Gedola, either way, she needs Sphira, she needs accounting. And accounting demands that she has to wait until the day. So that's the reason why the Mishnah singles her out. I had a Havamina that she could Tovla the night prior. The Mishnah makes sure that we realize that even though we could construct an argument, it's not a valid argument, and therefore she Tovels the next day. Ad kan. The Kulon Shasta Mishalam Rashachar Kashim. And now Hanimila, the Gemara over here, is going to discuss how do we know that the day begins at dawn. Again, the point of the Mishnah is, fundamentally, the day begins at dawn. We just wait till Netzachama just to make sure that we know for sure. So how do we know that this is so? The Gemara quotes a pasuk. Amar Rav Adam Akrav Yikralu Kimla Or Yom Lemeir Bakara Yom. Gemara quotes a pasuk. I think we're all familiar with the pasuk. The day is called the Akash Baruch Hu called the light day. The way the Gemara is understanding the pasuk is light over here is not a noun, but rather it's a description. When the day becomes light, so that's day. So Elam Yatol Choshev Kara Laila Elam Ashkuf Bakara Laila. So the Gemara says, okay, so why don't we do the same thing with the next half of the Pasuk? The next half of the Pasuk says, is that as it starts to get dark, oh, that's night. And we know that's not true. And the Gemara is going to point that out. We know that it only is night, only at the point of Seisa Kochavim, when the stars come out, which is well after when the day starts getting dark. So Ela Amar Rabbi Zera Mehacha. So the Rabbi Zera says, you're right. That's not the source. The Gemara quotes another source, a pasuk in Nehemiah. The description in Nehemiah of building the second base of Mikdash, where there were guards making sure that the workers would be safe. They were holding spears in their hands, and the workers would work from Alot HaShachar until Tzeis HaKochavim, meaning they worked during the day. And just to make sure that we know that this is a description of day, the Gemara quotes another pasuk. Va'omer, ve'hayu lanu halayla le'mishmar, or mishmar v'hayom lacha, that at night we guarded, and during the day we worked. My va'omer, why did the Gemara quote the second pasuk? The Gemara says very simple, v'chitema mishalana moshachar lav yamama. really, I might have thought without the second pasuk that they just woke up early, meaning they didn't wake up. They woke up early to build the Beis HaMikdash. They woke up really early, and Umichi Arva Shimsha Leila, and really Erev Shemesh, meaning when it starts getting dark, that's really night. And they just simply worked before day, after day. Tashma, that's the second pasuk that's coming to tell us no, that from Alos HaShachar until Seis HaKochavim, that's day. That is the status of day. So that's the Tashma Lanu Halayla Mishmar Vayom Malachal. Okay, so we have a set of two psukim in Sefer Nehemiah that teaches us that the day begins at dawn and ends at Seis HaKochavim. Good. Kol Halayla, next Mishnah. Kol Halayla Kasha L'Kriyas Megillah. Now, at what point during the day do we read the Megillah? Any point during the day. Now, Rashi points out over here, I'm sure everyone knows, but right, just to make sure that everybody knows, Rashi, the first Rashi in the Mishnah, we have a principle, Afagab de Kaimelon, Zerizim HaGimel HaMitzvos. So you want to be a Zariz. You want to be somebody who is excited about doing mitzvos. So, Mashkimim, you wake up early to do the mitzvah. And Vayashke Dechsi, Vayashke Mavram Baboker. And we see it by Avram that he woke up early. I feel hachi kasha kol hayom. The Mishnah's point is that you do have the entire day to do the mitzvah. The zari is the person who is excited about doing the mitzvahs, which should be all of us. So we'll do it as quickly as we can, as early as we can. But if you don't, you have the entirety of the day to do the mitzvah. So kol hayom kasha l'kriyas megillah ula kriyas ha halal. And this is also true for the mitzvah of halal. Ula tkiyas shofar in the mitzvah of shofar. Ultias Lulav in the mitzvah of Lulav. Ultfilas Musafim. Davening Musaf. Davening Musaf, you have the entire day. Okay? We generally daven Musaf immediately after Shacharis when there's a Musaf, but fundamentally you have the entire day to do so. Ulem Musafim. And oh, by the way, same thing is true for the actual Musaf itself. Meaning the Mishnah is teaching us a halacha about Tfilah and the halacha of Musaf. Vidu Aparim. Also, confession over the axen. We'll talk about that later on. Vidui Meiser, confession over your Meiser. Vidui Yom Kippurim, confession in Yom Kippur. Smicha Shchita Tenufa Agasha, Ukemitza Laktara Lamalika Lakabala Azaya. All the different aspects of the Avoda. Smicha, placing your hands on the animal. Shechting the animal. Waving. Presentation. Kemitza, taking a fistful of the Mincha. Haktara, burning. Malika, that is the shechting of the birds with the fingernail of the Kohen. Kabbalah, receiving of the blood. Hazayah, sprinkling of the blood. All these have to be done during the day. And you have the entirety of the day to do so. Hashkaya Sota. A Sota comes to drink from the Mesota. That's a mitzvah that needs to be done during the day. Arifas Ha'egla. If we're going to go through the procedure of the Egla Rufa, it has to be done during the day. Tahara Samitzora. Purification of a Mitzora. We know that there are two stages to the purification of the Mitzora, all described in the beginning of Parshas Mitzora. The Mishnah over here is talking about the first day, in which there are two birds. One of the birds is Shechta, the other bird is sent free. Right? An unusual ceremony, but it's a mitzvah, and that has to be done during the day. Kol Alayla. So those are the mitzvahs that are done during the day. Kol Alayla Kasha L'Ktziras Omer. The entire night, it's a mitzvah to do the Ktziras Omer, the harvesting for the Omer, meaning the night after the first day of Pesach. So what we would have done had we had a Beis HaMikdash, we would have gone out, we would have harvested the wheats, and we would have ground them up, so that the next day, the first day of Chol HaMoed, the 16th day of Nisan, would be offering the Karban Omer. When do we do the Ketzira? At night. What point during the night? We have the whole night. Hector Chalav Me'evarim, the burning of the fats and the limbs of an animal that are shechted during the day, that can be done over the course of the entire night. Zehaklal Davish HaMitzvah Bayom Kasha Kol Yom, Davish HaMitzvah Balayla Kasha Kol Alayla. And then the Mishnah says, just in case you didn't get it, I'll give you a general rule. If you have a mitzvah during the day, it's done during the entire day. If I have a mitzvah at night, it's done during the entire night. Okay, and we know, and the Gemara is going to point it out over here as well, Zehakla, whenever the Mishnah gives us a general rule, it's coming to add something. The Mishnah is not just giving us a summary statement. What is it coming to add? So that we'll wait till the end of the Perek for a description of that. Okay. Once again, by the way, let's just talk about the Cheshek Shama. I know we spoke about it once already today, but let's just talk about it again. Did you notice that in this Mishnah, we have, here's all the mitzvahs that you do during the day, here's all the mitzvahs that you do during the night, those mitzvahs for the day can be done during the entire day, those mitzvahs for the night can be done the entire night. And look at what the Mishnah here is describing. The first thing the Mishnah brings up is the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. That's the first thing mentioned. That could be done during the whole day. What I would then have expected the Mishnah to have said is, and here's all the mitzvahs that you could do at night, and you have the entire night. And what should the Mishnah have then included? Kriyas HaMegillah. And the Mishnah doesn't. So again, right, just to hear again, the Chiddush of the Cheshek Shlomo, he says that the Kriya Balayla was a later institution. Okay, again, I'm not telling you he's right, but it's a tremendous Chiddush, and you hear it.
How come they didn't institute the idea that it has to be done like with what's
Well, again, making a gzera,
right.
Making a gzera de rabbanan. Well, okay, Shema itself, there's a discussion whether or not it is those times that are given are derived to rabbanan. Yeah, but by tefillah, right? Tefillah is a good example where the chachamim said that's it. In other words, you can't go beyond a certain point in time. Okay. Look, it's good. Meaning, you know, if your person doesn't do it in the morning, you have the rest of the day. Okay, mi nalan. Okay, we start with the Gemara. Mi nalan damakrav ayem imalan iskari v'nasim l'kriyas. I'm sorry. And again, here, what we're basically going to do, and I'm going to go through this slightly faster than I normally do, and that is, we're just going to quote psukim that support every position in the Mishnah. I'll spend maybe just a couple moments explaining each mitzvah a little bit better than I did back in the Mishnah. Okay, actually, before I start with the Gemara, just one basic point. It's here. It's classic. It's famous. Right? It's discussed, and that is the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. Now, I know the Mishnah doesn't discuss it. The Mishnah discusses the mitzvah of Ketziras HaOmer, the harvesting of the Omer. But we know that a complementary mitzvah to the Ketziras is counting, meaning that when we get to the second day of Pesach, so what do we do as Jewish people? So we start counting. Here's day one of the Omer. Here's day two of the Omer, and we count all the way till we get to the 49th day / 50th day. Right, the Torah is a little bit ambiguous in terms of when exactly we're counting till, but we count Sheva Shabbos Tamimos, we count seven complete days, and then seven complete weeks, I should say, and then we get to the 50th day, and that's Shavuos. I somehow feel like we're all familiar. Rabbeinu Tam writes, look at the bottom Tosfos over here. This is the Mishnah. This is Tosfos on the Mishnah. Rabbeinu Tam, Shim Shachal, Levarch Balayla, Levarch Bayom. So what if you forget to make a bracha at night? Sfiras HaOmer. You forget to make a bracha at night. Now I know for us, right, we're all familiar with the halachas because, you know, this is something we practice. So, but the discussion is all found in the Rishonim, meaning the Gemara doesn't discuss all the what ifs. Right? What if I forget at night? What if I forget an entire day? Right? The Gemara doesn't discuss that. The Rishonim discussed it. So here on our daf, I know it's yesterday's daf. On our daf, so Tosos discusses. So Rabbeinu Tam says that if you forgot to make a bracha at night, so you don't make a bracha during the day. Why? He says, because look at our Mishnah. Meaning, what does our Mishnah say? The mitzvah of Ketziras HaOmer is done at night. There is no mitzvah of Ketzira during the day. So Rabbeinu Tam is assuming, now it is an assumption, that whatever our Mishnah says is regarding Ketzira is the same thing, would have the same application for the mitzvah of Sefira, for counting. Yeah, correct. In other words, understood. I understand his thought process. I'm just highlighting his thought process. That the Ketzir and the Sefira are the same. And then you go on in Tosos, and I'm not going to go through the entire Tosos right now. I'm just highlighting. But you go on in Tosos, and you see, what if you missed a day of counting? So he quotes the Shita of the Bahag, the Bahalach is Gedolos. If you miss a day of counting, that's it. You can no longer count with a bracha. Where does that come from? Right here, this Tosos. This is not the only Tosos that discusses it. There are others as well. But the Tosos over here says that if I miss a day, the Bahag says that's it, you can't count anymore. Okay? Why not? That's a discussion. It's a, right, you probably at one point or another heard a shir on this. But all these are found right here in the Tosos. Okay? I'm just highlighting. Let's go back to the Gemara. Let's go on. Mina and Damakra, how do I know that the Megillah is read during the entirety of the day? Vayamei Ma'ilan Nizkar Menasim. Kriyas Halah, the mitzvah of reading the Halah. Dichsim Mizbech Shemesh Ad Mevo'o. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. Pasukin Halah itself. Rabbi Yosef Omer Zayom Asa Hashem. This is the day. Again, the word Yom. Nitilas Lulav Dichsim Lekachtem Lechem Bayom HaRishon. The mitzvah of Lulav can be taken during the entirety of the day. It says Bayom. Tkiyashav Dichsim Yom Chura Yelachem. Musafim Bayomosav Dichsim Dvar Yom Biyomo. Parshas Pinchas. The Torah describes each musaf to be brought during the day. Tfilas musafin. Now, what about Shemona Esrei? So, kimusafin shavir rabbanan. That is a rabbinic enactment to David Shemona Esrei, which corresponds to the tfilas musaf. Okay, so basically the rabbis pattern themselves after the carbon. The carbon brit could be brought during the entirety of the day. Musaf can be said during the entirety of the day. The tefillah of musaf can be said. Vidui parim di alef kapar kapar miyama kippurim. Vidui parim. I didn't explain it well in the Mishnah. What is vidui parim? So if you take a look at Rashi back in the Mishnah, so Rashi says this is a description of the parhalam davishol sibor and the par kohen hamashiach. Parhalam davishol sibor, if the entire community sins. Why would the entire community sin? Because Beis Din came out with a ruling and they were wrong. Okay, they are prone to mistakes, they're human. I know that sounds like a major chiddush. It's not. We're all human. We're all imperfect. And so Beis Din comes out with a ruling, and then they made a mistake. They recognize the mistake they made. So the Torah says that they could bring a carbon, and the carbon that they bring is a parhelm davishal sibor. It's a special carbon that is spelled out in Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Vayikra. And in this carbon, vidu is done. A confession is done by the Sanhedrin. And then this confession, that could be done only during the day. So the Gemara just, right now the Gemara is focused only on one point. How do we know that it could be done during the day? So the Gemara says it's based on a alfus, it's based on one of the midos, the Yud Gimel midos. Kapar kapar miyama kippurim. We'll call it a gzera shava. I'm sorry. Kapar kapar miyama kippurim. Detanya gabi yama kippurim. V'chiper ba'ado v'ad beiso. That the Kohen himself brings a carbon on Kippur. It serves as an atonement for him and his family. The kapar is dvar mekasa bedaber. That kapar is talking about his vidui, his confession. The kapar biyamama hu dichsiv, and we know that confession is done during the day. Dichsiv by yamaze yichaper aleichem. Okay, it is interesting. We on Yom Kippur we do a vidui at night, right? But fundamentally, the kapar of the vidui is done during the day. Vidui meiser. And by the way, the Rashi I quoted back in the Mishnah, there was another special karban where vidui is done. That's vidui par kohen mashiach, where if a kohen gadol violates one of the averas, one of the krisis averas, so he has a special karban that he needs to bring as a kohen gadol. It's not going to be the seirah, the goat that we bring, the rest of us, but he brings a bull. Okay. Back to the Gemara, vidui meiser, the confession of a meiser at the end of the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. So we are basically hitting a marker. We're basically, right, the Shemitah cycle is broken up into two units of 3 years. And then, of course, the seventh year being Shemitah. So in those two units of 3 years, so year 1-2 is Shuma Gedola Meiser Rishon Meiser Meiser Sheni, and in year 3, Shuma Gedola Meiser Rishon Meiser Ani. Okay, and the same thing is done for years 4, 5, and 6. At the end of each of these units, basically now you have to make an accounting, right? You basically do an audit on yourself, and in this audit, what do you say is, basically, I'm good. Meaning, you audit yourself, and you basically say, I gave everything I needed to give. And you go through the vidu, the confession, of course, you say it only if it's true. And the pasuk right next to it is Hayom. It's done during the day. So the vidui meiser is done during the day. Smicha shchita dechsiv v'smach v'shachav dechsiv v'shchita b'yom zvachachem. So zvicha shchita are done. Sorry. Smicha and shchita, the resting of your hands on the animal and the shechting of the animal is done during the day. Gemara quotes a pasuk. Tenufa dechsiv, the waving. Certain karbanos are subject to a waving. B'yom amnichem anivchem es haomer. Carbon Omer is a good example, as the Gemara just quotes a pasuk by the Carbon Omer, where the Carbon Omer is waved. Much like we shake a lulav, so the Gemara uses the exact same terminology in terms of the mitzvah of Tenufa when it comes to these carbonos. Hagasha, presentation, meaning the walking of the carbon to the Mizbeach, the Hkish Tenufa, so that is connected to Tenufa. Dechsiv lakacha kohen, miyadisha is minchas akanoz veheinif. So you see that the Kohen takes the mincha of the sota. It's true by any mincha. We just have a pasuk that describes it by the sota, and walks it over to the mizbeach. That has to be done during the day. As in that same pasuk, you also have tenufa, and we identify tenufa having to be done during the day. V'hikriv, I'm sorry, it's a kenos v'hiniv v'hikriv. Ula malikul kmitzel atol azay dechsev b'yom tzavasos b'nei Yisrael. Malika, Kemitza, Haktara, Hazaya. These are all different aspects of Avodah for a Karban. So the Torah says, Bayom Savaso, on the day that I was commanded. Meaning, Avodah is done during the day. Right? It's a fair question to ask, if we have this pasuk that says that all Avodahs are done during the day, so why not just simply have Shechita included in this general statement that Avodah is done during the day? If you want to see, Tosos, second to last Tosos on the Samud, is bothered by this very question. Tosos asks, Avashchit, he doesn't ask, he just basically assumes that we understand the question. Avashchita lo mafkina me'akra, Shechita is not generated from this pasuk. Why not? The lav avodahi. Tosos writes over here, you'll see this come up again and again in the world of Zvachim and Menachos, that Shechita is not an avodah. Proof that it's not an avodah, Sharik Shera Bazar. Because a non-Kohen can check. So if a non-Kohen can do an activity in the Beis Hamikdash, by definition, it's not an avodah. And the pasuk of Bayom Tzavaso, that's an avodah pasuk. So that's why we needed a special pasuk that Shechita has to be done during the day, because Shechita is not an avodah. This is, again, it generates a larger discussion we're highlighting. Back to the Gemara. We're on the very bottom of Chaf Amud Beis. Hashkaya Sota. If we have the procedure, the mitzvah of giving a sota to drink, that has to be done during the day. Asya Torah Torah. We have Gzeira Shava. Ksiv Hachav Asolcha Kohen Es Kol HaTorah Hazos in Parshas Naso. And Ksiv Asom Api HaTorah Sheirucha Ve'el HaMishpat. So, and we have another pasuk in Parshas Shoftim describing the judicial process, and the Torah connects it to the word Torah. Ma Mishpat Bayom Afkan Bayom. So just like the judicial process is done during the day, so too, and Rashi quotes the pasuk to teach us how we know that, so too the Hashkai Sota is done during the day as well. Again, this, we're creating a Gzeir Shava based on the word Torah. How many times is the word Torah found in the Torah? So we know. The Gzeir Shava is not something that's manufactured. The Gzeir Shava is only Kabbalah from one to the other, from one generation to the next, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes. Well, because the Mishnah is bullet points. The Mishnah is, the purpose of the Mishnah is to give us the bullet points. And then what the Gemara does is it gives us, it fills in more of the blank. Meaning, how did the Mishnah know this? How did the Mishnah know this? But when Rav Yehuda Hanasi wrote the Mishnayos, he wrote it with one, to write down Torah Sheba'al Peh, but in as a short form as possible. And just basically, it's a skeletal outline of the halacha. And then the Gemara just fills it in a little bit more. Taras Mitzara, we are on, I skipped Arifas Egla, we're on the top of Chafal Afamid Aleph, the procedure of Egla Rufa, Amid Debe Raviana, Kapar, Ksib Bakikachim. It's not a carbon, but the Torah does use the word Kapara when it describes the Egla Rufa. Kapara connects it to the Karbanos. We treat it like a carbon, just like a carbon is done during the day, Egla Rufa as well. Taharis Mitzara, purification Mitzara, Dixiv Zosia Taras Mitzara, Biyom Taraso. Pasuk says it clearly, it has to be done during the day. Bayom. Kol alayla kashal ksiras omer dabamar ksira sfiras balayla v'ava bayom. Ketsira, sfira, the harvesting, the counting is done at night, and hava bayom, and the offering of the omer is done the next day, the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, or the 16th day of Nisan. So
all these have yom in it, right? All these
pasukim
have yom in it?
Well, by the hava omer, that's carbon, and carbon's during the day. But the, okay, Ksir and Sfir is the night. Hector Chalabim Ve'evarim. Dechsiv Kol HaLayla Ad HaBoker. The burning of the fats and lives. Meaning when we shech the carbon in the base of Mikdash, so obviously now that's the sprinkling of the blood of the animal on the Mizbeach, that's the Ikur Kapara. But then as we know, what happens to the carbon itself, so assuming it's an Ola, so it's taken and burnt in its entirety on the top of the Mizbeach. Okay, that's a lot of animal, assuming it's a busy day in the base of Mikdash, it's a lot of animal to burn on the Mizbeach, so you not only have the day to burn, but you have the entire night following. So, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Kol HaLayla Ad HaBoker. Ze'aklav Tav Hashem Mitzvah Sabayam Kasha Kol HaYom. And now we're on to the last part of the Mishnah. What are we generating from the Ze'aklav? Ze'aklav Asuyim Ha'Lasuyim Sidur Bezichin V'Silik Bezichin. It's coming to include the removal and placement of the two spoons. In the Beis HaMikdash, in the Heichal, there's a shulchan, there's a table. Arranged on this table are 12 loaves of bread, what we call the lechem apanim, and on the they're stacked in two columns. Each column is six on each column. On the top of each column, there are one spoon of Lavona on each of the columns, making for a total of two spoons. And what happens is that these spoons that were Lavona, it's a spice, it's one of the fragrances. It's called frankincense in English. So these spoons are offered on the Mizbech, are burned on the Mizbech. They are the matir. They are what permits the lechem aponim to be eaten by the Kohanim. And in terms of Sira Bezichim, Sira Bezichim, Rav Yossi, the Tanya Rav Yossi, Yom Silka, Sira Yishana, Shachar, Sira, Chadasha, Arvis, Ein Bekach Klum. Now, in terms of the removal of the spoons, we're also removing the lechem aponim. Meaning last week's lechem aponim is removed on Shabbos, and this week's lechem aponim is placed on the Shulchan on Shabbos. How exactly is that done? That's a machlokas. Remember, one position is that as the old is coming off, the new is coming on. And basically like in one motion, so that the Shulchan will not for a moment be vacated of the lechem. In other words, the Torah says regarding the lechem aponim lefanai tamid, it has to be constantly on the Shulchan, so therefore as I'm taking off the old, the new comes on. That's one opinion. Reb Yossi disagrees. Reb Yossi says it doesn't literally mean that there cannot be a moment without lechem. As long as the day goes by, as long as I have old on the table and new on the table, by the end of the day, that's sufficient. What the Gemara is assuming now is our Mishnah subscribes to this viewpoint of Reb Yossi, and Reb Yossi says you have the entire day. What does that mean? You could take off the last week's lechem upon him in the morning on Shabbos, and then the old, and then the new can be placed on as long as it's still day. Good. So Rav Yossi, by the way, parenthetically, the Rambam goes like the first opinion, meaning that the new has to go on immediately as the old is being taken off. Sorry, let me just finish reading the Gemara. I'm sorry. Rav Yossi Amar still says Shoshana Shachar Shidus Chodesh Arvis Ein Bekachlum Amani Mekayim Lefanai Tamid. Meaning that the day shouldn't go by without bread. But it doesn't have to be that every moment there's bread on the table. Devash mitzvah belayla kasha kol alayla. The next part of the Mishnah was that coming to include is lasuye mai lasuye achilas pesachim. Our Mishnah over here is alluding to the eating of Karm Pesach udelo kerebi Elazar ben Azarya. Not like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya. The Tanya v'achlus abasa belayla azeh. I'm Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya. Nemar kam belayla azeh. Nemar lahalan avarvati bert mitzvah belayla azeh. Ma lahalan ad chatzos. Afkan ad chatzos. Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya's position is that you only have until midnight to eat your Karm Pesach. After midnight, you can no longer eat your Karm Pesach. Our Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya and says that no, you have the entire evening to eat Karban Pesach. Okay, and again, how does that relate to us nowadays? The Afikoman, right? Do we have to eat the Afikoman before Chatzos or after Chatzos? Our practice of eating the Afikoman corresponds to Karban Pesach. And so therefore, if you hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya, you must eat the Afikoman before Chatzos. If you don't pass like Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya, you have the entire night to eat Afikoman. Okay, let's move on. Hajalach HaKor L'Mafreh, that is the end of the second part. Okay, we're halfway through the Masechta. Now, in terms of Dapim, we're more than halfway through. Right, the Masechta ends on Daf Lamed Beis, we're already on Daf Chaf Aleph, so we are approximately two-thirds of the way through the Masechta. The first two Parakim occupy most of the real estate in the Masechta, and the blame is the first parak. We're not going to blame a parak, but you understand. The first parak is because the first parak took us on a seven daf detour of darshaning the Megillah, and we're very grateful. That was a very enjoyable week of daf. We are now starting the third parak of the Masechta. It's an interesting note in the Mishnayos. The third parak is the fourth parak, and the fourth parak is the third parak. Hopefully, I didn't confuse you. They're flipped in the Mishnayos. In the Gemara, we are learning what is the Mishnah fourth parak, but it's in the Gemara it's the third parak. How did that happen? Why did that happen? I don't know. But when you're learning the Mishnayos, don't get confused. Okay. The third parak is going to deal with basically Kriyas Megillah for about three lines of Mishnah, and then after that, segue into the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah. Okay, so we're going to experience over the course of this third parak all the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah. Shabbos, Haftorah, and then we move to the fourth parak. Fourth parak, a discussion of how the halachas of shuls, right? Proper conduct in a shul, sale of a shul, buying of a shul, right? Two really interesting prakim coming up ahead. Let's begin. So basically, when all said and done, we're finished with the topic of Megillah. Meaning Megillah is really covered in the first two prakim. We will see just a one more halacha regarding the Megillah, but that's it. And then we're going to segue into the topics of Kriyas HaTorah and the halachas of a shul. The Mishnah begins, according to Megillah, Amar V'Yoshev. You could read the Megillah, you could be standing, you could be sitting. There is no required position of standing while reading the Megillah. Now, Bitzibor in a shul, so covered of Tzibor, meaning we have this idea that I'm reading them for, I'm in the Tzibor, there's a minion of people, so there, Shulchan Aruch says, the Baal Kori should stand for the Megillah. But you're reading in the comfort of your own home, right? It's recommended to read in shul, Berubam Hadras Melech, but you're reading at home, you don't have to stand. The Mishnah says, you could stand, you could sit, for the Kriyas HaMegillah. Kara Echad Karushnayim. You can have a choir. I know this would seem strange to us, but if you want to have two people reading the Megillah at the same time, like a little duet, the Mishnah says that's fine. That's no problem. Karushnayim Yatsu. Makum Shenagul Levarich Yavarich V'Sholo Levarich Lo Yavarich. Now, if the minhag is to make a bracha, you make a bracha. If there's no minhag to make a bracha, you don't make a bracha. The Gemara will point out we're not talking about the bracha before the Megillah. The bracha before the Megillah, that's an absolute. That's not flexible. The flexibility that the Mishnah here is describing is the bracha after the Megillah. Haravis Rivena Ba'adonis Dinenu. It's a minhag. Some say it, some don't say it. Depends on your locality. B'shenim b'chamishi, we continue in the Mishnah. B'shenim b'chamishi b'shabbos b'mincha karish losha. On Monday, Thursday, and on Shabbos mincha, so we read the Torah, meaning the Mishnah assumes we know, and it's just now a question of the halachas. And how many people get called up for an aliyah? Three. Ain't pochas me'em ve'mosif an aliyah. No less than three, no fewer than three aliyahs, no more than three aliyahs. Ve'im afkir b'navi. And no haftarah. The first person who gets an aliyah makes a bracha rishona. The last person who gets an aliyah makes a bracha achrona. Not like our minag. Our minag is that every ola makes a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona. When did that change? We'll see that in the Gemara. On Rosh Chodesh and on Chol HaMoed, there are four aliyahs. No fewer than four, no more than four. Ain maftir and benavi, no haftorah. Hapasech ve'achosim b'torah mevarach lefaneh ulachara. Again, the first ola makes a bracha rishona, the last ola makes a bracha achrona. Zakla kol sheyesh ba musaf ve'eino yom tov koren arba. As a general rule, if there is a musaf, but it's not categorized as a yom tov, so then four aliyahs. By yom tov chamisha, on a yom tov five aliyahs. B'yom HaKippurim shisha, and Yom Kippur six aliyahs, and b'Shabbat shiva, and on Shabbos seven aliyahs, and ein pochasim mehem. Now no fewer than seven on Shabbos, avam mosif in aleihem, but you can add aliyahs on Shabbos. Maftirim benavi, and there's haftarah, haposech lechosim b'torah, mevarech lefaneh alacharah. And for a third time, the Mishnah tells us, the first ola makes a bracha rishona, the last ola makes a bracha achrona, and that's it. Okay? It is slightly ambiguous in the Mishnah whether or not a hosafa is allowed on Yom Kippur. Meaning, if you go through the Mishnah carefully, and Yom Kippur for that matter, if you go through the Mishnah carefully, right, Yom Tov it says five, Yom Kippur it says six, Shabbos it says seven, and then the Mishnah says Aval Mosifin. Is that Aval Mosifin going on just Shabbos, or is it also going on the Yom Kippur and the Yom Tov that's mentioned prior? There's an ambiguity in the Mishnah. You'll see the Rishonim, they discuss this. Again, I'm just highlighting. Tana, we learned in it. We're going to go right to the Gemara. Masha ain't came but Torah. Now, when it comes to the Torah, you have to stand. By the Megillah, there's an option, there's a flexibility. You could stand, you could sit. But when it comes to Torah, the Gemara says you have to stand. Menani milam rabbi abama kravata po amori madi. The Pasuk says, you stand with me. When describing when Moshe was learning the Torah with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, what was the position? Amida. Now, for the Pasuk, it sounds like a Kadosh Baruch Hu was standing as well. If the Pasuk wasn't saying it, we could not say it. Kadosh Baruch Hu has no physicality. There's the idea of Akash Baruch Hu standing as an anthropomorphism, and the pasuk allows us to say it. But obviously, it's not. It's just that. It's just an anthropomorphism. The Rav should not be on the bed, and the Talmud shouldn't be on the floor. The Rav and the Talmud should be on the same level, meaning that they should be either both standing, both sitting, both on the floor, but the Rav shouldn't lord over the Talmud. Now, the Gemara could mean this on the simplest level, just from a physical standpoint. But also probably, right, the B'derech HaDrush, the Gemara also means it. Also, in other words, that the Rav should feel not superior to the Talmud. Obviously, he knows more than the Talmud, but the Rav shouldn't feel superior to the Talmud. And therefore should put himself on the same level as the Talmud and connect, make a connection with the Talmud. Tana Rabbanim Yemos Yeshua Bar Rabban Gamliel, La Hayol Lamedim Torah Lama Umad. From Moshe Rabbeinu to Rabban Gamliel, it's a short 1,500 years. It's not that bad. So for those... approximately the but for a millennia and a half, so they only learned Torah be'amida. Torah meaning there's a kavod Torah, there's a general honor that we have to have towards the Torah. Torah comes out of the Aron, we all stand, it's intuitive, it's ingrained into us. But in the good old days, and for the first 1500 years of Jewish education, right, they stood when they learned Torah, kavod Torah. So mishameis Rabban Gamliel yared cholul olam. But with the death of Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel lived at the end of Chorban Sheni. The end of Bayit Sheni, during Chorban Sheni. So along with the death of Rabban Gamliel, so what did you have? You had choli. You had an illness come into the world. In other words, we're weaker. Right? Our constitution is weaker. Vayu lamedim Torah miyushav. So then they learned Torah miyushav. Vahinu didmah, mishamesh Rabban Gamliel, batu kavara Torah. And the Mishnah in Sota. Right, the final Mishnah in Sota tell us when he died we lost this, when he died we lost this. Right, Rav Yehuda Hanasi died, what did we lose? We lost a nava, a humility. Right, he was a nanav. So the Gemara says when Rabban Gamliel died, what did we lose? Kavod HaTorah. Right, the honor of Torah that we have nowadays pales in comparison to the period up to and including Rabban Gamliel. Kasav Echad Amar Ve'eshev Bahar. Kasav Echad Amar Ve'anochi Amarata Bahar. The position of learning. There seems to be a discrepancy in the psukim. One pasuk says I sat. One pasuk says I stood. Amarav omed velomed yoshev v'shoneh. When you are learning for the first time, so you stand. When you are reviewing, you could sit. Rabbi Chanina amar lo omed velo yoshev velo shocheh. Rabbi Chanina says some compromise, not standing, not sitting, but basically hunched over. Rabbi Yochanan amar in yeshiva elo lashon akava. Don't take the word yeshiva in its literal sense. It does not mean sitting, it means he was there. He lingered there. Shenemar v'teshu b'kadesh amim rabim. Rav amar rakot meumad v'kashot miyushab. Another explanation of the how to balance these two psukim. The easy stuff, okay, whatever you deem to be easy, so that you stand, but v'kashos. But if it's difficult and you require full concentration and attention, miyushab, so then you sit. Okay. Good, let's stop over here. All right, we are almost halfway up to where we should be. Today's daf is Chaf Aleph. Again, just they don't need to hear this.